Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth.
This is Lois Bullock, and you just listened to Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Good evening, everyone. This is Lois Bullock, your host of Let's Talk Truth, and we are here today to really enjoy another dynamic broadcast, and we're still continuing in the commemoration of our Black History Month, in which we're going to talk about Black history. Where do we go from here? Our last show, we explored all of our different contributions from slavery to the present day, and we all must agree that that has been a tremendous contribution by the Black race, the African-American race. Not only that, we did have some other races that were essential in making some of the things happen, so we must recognize that this was not done only by the Black race, but it was for the Black race. And let me reiterate, as I say at the beginning of every broadcast, that I am not here to preach to you, but if we are to examine truth and to arrive at truth and everything that we have to offer you, we want it to be true, sound, something that you can build on. It has to be surrounded and encompassed by the Word of God. So with that said, the only time you can speak truth, it has to be God in the midst. So we're going to go from there. Today we're going to talk about where we're going to go from here. Okay, we've been freed. We talked about our contributions. Where are we going to go from here? And I'm going to thank my guests. I do have some guests in the studio today. We have Courtney, and Courtney is a dynamic man of God. We thank him for coming by. And I truly believe that Courtney is one that will offer you some sound doctrine or help us to arrive at the truth within us without being biased. He's not going to take one side against the other. That's what truth is all about, is putting it out there and not saying that I'm going to go for this side or that side. We're going to go straight down the middle. So we thank Courtney for being here. So everybody, let's give Courtney a hand. We can give him two hands if we want. Okay, and we do have Courtney's dynamic little daughter in the studio today, Kennedy. So she's going to observe, and one day she's going to host her own talk show. But Kennedy is an awesome six-year-old. She just turned six, but she's growing really to be a wise young lady. So let's give Kennedy a hand as well. And Last but not least, we have Dijon Goodson, who is a young man. He's striving to, and he's really growing in the Lord and growing in the community, being helpful and useful to other young men and young women. So we want to also give Dijon a hand for being in the show tonight. Now, we do have a guest in our studio, and all I can tell you is her first name is Jasmine. I don't know if she's going to talk, but she's more than welcome to talk. Should something, you know, come on her mind and she wants to say it, I want her to feel free to say it, because I want to thank her for being here. She didn't have to be a part of this, but she stopped in, and so we thank her for being here. So let's give Jasmine a hand. Okay, now, we're going to talk about where do we go from here. Now, we realize that slavery, we understood why blacks were slaves, why Africa. We understand everything that goes wrong in our lives has to do with something we're trying to accomplish, greed, money, something of that nature. So we've overcome. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King saying, we shall overcome. That's where we got that from, we shall overcome. Now, let's get down to the point. Do you think that has happened? What have we overcome since those days? Have we overcome anything?
I think we've overcome. I mean, we've overcome some things, but our minds are still stuck in the past. We've overcame the education situation that we're not beat and killed for being able to read, but we have stayed in the past because we don't want. We don't want to progress.
Mm-hmm.
It's the individuals. It's like giving someone a chance to win something, but they just choose not to do it. We choose not to be educated. But it's out there. So we have overcome.
Okay. I totally agree. Now, these are the things that held us in a certain position in the past. Our education, our ability to live where we wanted to live, to shop where we wanted to shop, to get paid like other people were paid. So coming out of slavery and going on from 1863 to 1963, when Dr. King set everything in motion, all of these years, those doors opened up. The doors were open to education. The doors were open. We have the right to live where we want to live. We have the right to go where we want to go. We're not held back by those things like we were in the past. If you will look in the past, the N-word floated around very much so back then. And this is why now I don't think a lot of our young people understand the impact the N-word had on people in the past. And we hold our young people accountable for that. We talk about them. But how can you expect a person to act out something that they were never a part of? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I want everybody to really understand what I'm saying. If I've never been a slave, I don't understand the impact. If I was never raised to be insulted by the N-word, I don't understand the impact. So what we're asking our young people to do as far as the N-word, we're asking them, take my word for it. You understand what I'm saying? And I know a lot of people.
You're right, but what somebody's going to say is they're gonna not. There, it's a lot of people that's gonna disagree with you simply because the fact of the matter is that, well, history and this and history and that. Liz, our young folks today need. They have to need something they can see. And while you're saying, young folks, they quick to poke holes in people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you tell me this, but you do this. Well, you tell me this, but you do this. We have too many leaders in the black community who are leading in a wrong way, gives our young people
ammunition
and gives them ammunition to say, well, I'm not going to stop saying the N-word or stop saying in my pants because you claiming you a man of God, or
you're still doing this,
and you
said,
and I saw you at Miss Jenkins' house the other day at 3 a.m. or something like that. They're very observant.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
so that's where people disagree. Well, I agree with you though. I agree that
exactly. I don't believe that I can give anything proper respect that I haven't experienced.
Exactly.
And this is what experience brings wisdom. That's the only way you can get it. Wisdom does not come by age. You can say, oh, Mr. So-and-so is 80 years old.
Well,
he has lots of wisdom. But he has never experienced anything. So in order for me to know the impact that the N-word had on people, I don't believe our young people can just go by word of mouth. I don't believe we can sit up and just say, well, let me take your word for it. It was a derogatory thing because it never was derogatory to them.
And the fact of the matter is that we don't have any grandmothers or grandfathers sitting down and talking to their grandkids anymore. We don't do that anymore.
That's right.
They don't sit down and tell them the struggles they had. Now, we have some people who were almost adults in the 60s. Everybody black didn't go through racism.
Well, they went through racism,
not blatantly. We take things for granted. Like, not too long ago, we had to laugh in barrels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't laugh on the street. But we take what we do as younger generation, we take our freedoms for granted.
Exactly.
Things that we're doing, like skipping school, not getting, people were dying for that, right?
Exactly.
To do that, to
exactly.
go to school.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to try to arrive at today. Where do we go from here? We have these doors that have been opened. And these doors were opened by bloodshed. People died. Mothers were raped. Little girls were raped.
Men were castrated.
All of these things for us, for these doors that have come open now. But, again, I think that the downfall is in our leaders. Because if you're going to lead me out of bondage, you got to lead me into something that's going to be useful for me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just lead me out of bondage and then leave me at my own discretion, do what I want to do. I need to be led all the way until I'm able to stand on my own two feet.
And this goes back even to it's not even a race thing or anything about being a leader. I have a real problem with people, just like you said, who are trying to do something or trying to tell me something that have never did anything that I've done.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, you're trying to be a leader to a crackhead, but you've never been on crack. So they're not going to listen to you because they're going to like, you never felt this way.
Well, that takes you back to the scripture hits all of those things. I'm at the blind leading the blind. How can you lead where you don't go? How can you teach that you don't know? So this is what I'm saying. We have leaders who are stepping in leadership positions who really need to fall behind and follow somebody and learn before they step out there and lead. And we have people who get together and they gang together and they boost each other's ego just so that they can tear something down. Now, whether you know it or not, and it goes back to what we were saying about open doors, let's poke holes in that education process. Now, what do I mean when I tell my son or my daughter to get an education? You know what most of the people mean when they say get an education? Go to school, let that teacher teach you how to read, write, and this is it, and that's the end of your education. Once you get out of high school, you go to college, you leave college, that's the end of your education. But who is sitting down with their children saying, son, daughter, this is what you need to do with what you have learned? See, we are half educating our children, and we're not coming out telling them, do you know right now the greatest percentage of people that's being educated? You're only taught process. Now, once you have been taught process, what do I do with everything I have? What do I do with what I've learned? Nobody is telling me that in order for me to be prosperous and to be able to escape the bondage, because I'm telling you, without certain freedoms, you're still in bondage. And in order for me to escape these certain freedoms, I need to take what I've learned in college and I need to make it work for me. I don't need to go to a Fortune 500 company and get a desk in there that's going to make that company grow. What about my wallet? Because I promise you, as long as you work for somebody else, you're never going to be rich. I don't care if you make a six-figure salary, you're never going to be as rich as the person you work for, because we aren't fully educating our young people.
And like you said,
our people, period.
I'm politically correct African-American, but I'm a black man. And we don't educate ourselves enough. And it's just not grade school, middle school, high school, and college. Because you can go to college, get a four-year degree, and you still won't get a job when you get out. People don't tell you that. They don't prepare you for that.
Education.
And miseducate. In actuality, you're supposed to be educating yourself for the rest of your life. Because
exactly.
You're learning something new. You're learning how to do new things, how to go on new ventures. Because technology is changing every minute. So you have to stay up on that. You have to keep reading. Just once you read Macbeth, you think that's it? No
exactly.
More books to read? And we go around and our parents. Don't teach education for the black race because, one, they're always working. They got to have 9 and 10 jobs. Then they come home and they don't have any time for their children. All they do is go in, go to sleep, expect the children to get up. Well, you're making a disconnect. And then this disconnect grows from small child to adulthood. And when this disconnect is there, those children – Most of the times are dysfunctional.
Well, and what you're saying is actually a reality. But let me tell you why that can turn around. If I fully educate my family, first of all, I shouldn't. If I have to have more than one job, I got too much stuff. See, that's the point. We aren't taught how to wait until we are in the position to have stuff. When I first get out of college, I want me a new car. I want me an apartment because we, as a certain level of people, we aren't taught to own our own homes. We're taught to, I need me an apartment. I need my privacy. I need my this. You don't know what to do with privacy.
You don't have a privacy
so,
in an apartment anyway.
Exactly. But people don't understand that. So we need to fully educate our young people. When my son and my daughter leaves home, the first time they leave home, it should be to go to college. Now, some kids don't do well in college, but we try to force them to go. So we're wasting somebody's money.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would do, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I firmly believe that if not trying to train my child up to be a lawyer, doctor, or whatever I think he is, it's whatever God has put in that child in his mother's womb. There's a little tag inside of everybody that has your destination on it. But we don't look for that destination in people. We just push them out there. And so they're not walking in the direction that's feeding whatever that is inside of them. So it's not going to work.
It's a, you were talking about training up a child, and one thing that I see parents do is they have a veil over their eyes when it's concerning their child. When you ask a parent, what do you want your child? Oh, yeah, little Billy is going to be a doctor. Little Billy is going to be, you know, a little Sarah or a little Leroy or whatever. It's going to be something of great value. But most of the time, that's not going to happen. We want all our children to be rich. That's not going to happen. You know, and if we just be real with each other, a lot of our hard times, we can face it easier. We're not all going to be rich. Everybody's not going to have a mansion. It even says that in the Bible. It's dealt like that over millennia. Somebody has to be the middle class. Somebody, and that, I'm not saying this to get everybody's hopes down, but money doesn't equal happiness. And
no.
If you're pushing your child in somewhere that he doesn't want to go, he might have all the money, but that's why you get these suicides, these murdering the whole family, because they're not happy. They might be happy working for the lumber yard.
Mm-hmm.
They might be happy being a construction worker. They might be happy being an artist. They might be happy being, once you find the place, the parents don't teach that part. And this is how where we should be going as a race of blacks, whites, but since this is Black History Month, blacks, we should be going for what we are happy with. And I'm not saying happy selling dope.
Mm-hmm.
And on the street and rapping and all this kind of stuff. Not saying rapping is bad, but I'm just saying.
Whatever.
We should be trying to go for the easy stuff. Go for whatever that's going to float your boat, that's going to make you happy in life. And if you're happy making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, you will be a prosperous adult. But and because you will work in your boundaries. But when you try to work $50,000 and getting $100,000 in debt, then that's a problem because you're trying to live something that you're not. And that is how our black people get in so much trouble and why we can't progress, because we're trying to live something that we're not every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
or something
the guy down the street has Jordans, that don't mean I can afford them. I shouldn't try to steal them. I shouldn't try to do this. I should just wear what I have and be happy
content.
With that until
that's
I make
the
money
the key
to get
right
what
there
I need.
Is being content. And we as a race, we're not content in what we're doing, so we're struggling. We're struggling within. So every door that has been opened, every door that's open, we have to realize those doors were open. From 1863 to 1963, those doors were open, wide open for us. But we have been miseducated. And if we're miseducated, and then we're never going to get to the point where we're going to change. Nothing is going to change for us. So every door that was open, education is the key for our survival. Education is the key for our being uplifted, and also education is the key for our misrepresentation. See, we can be misrepresented in education as well as doing good with education. So that's one of the areas that Dr. Martin Luther King opened, and slavery and all of those struggles, it brought us to a door that opened wide. And we need to teach our black race education, keep it going. Don't just read what it says in the book. Somebody sit down and tell me how to
research,
how to do my own business. Tell me how to find out what niche. See, there's a niche out there for everybody.
Before you go out of the education segment of your program,
mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to get into. You know, we always look at things face value, and we don't, that's it. Just whatever somebody tell us, that's it. We don't research as into, well, what is the niche? What you know, researching can tell you a lot about if you should put a business in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. We don't do that. We're not educated for that.
We don't do feasibility studies.
Not all, you know, black people are like that, but majority of them are not. They don't research their businesses. That's why they fail. That's why they fail so quick, because they're in the wrong neighborhood. Another thing that we're not educated in is having credit.
Mm-hmm.
Black folks, when blacks, African Americans, however you want to say it, when we are brought up, we do not teach you have to have good credit. I've never heard that in schools or anything like that. We don't teach good credit. All we teach is get it. Because if we were taught that, then it would be a different way that we're thinking. Because you say, well, you know, I know somebody said, well, people were taught that too many comedians make fun of it, that we don't have good credit, that the whites have good credit. And there's nothing, and I'm not saying nothing wrong with whites, Caucasians, or whatever like that, but we're not taught that, and that's an education that we need. Credit runs the world. You can have $0 and have good credit, and you can get whatever you want. But people don't understand that. They just think hard currency. Currency don't win the day all the time. People think that money talks. It don't always talk.
Exactly.
You need, because I could have $20,000 down right now for a down payment. But if I'm not 670 and or above for a house, I'm not getting a house. I don't care. They're going to look at me and laugh and say, no, you're not going to get that house because you are unstable. They're not going to give me no loans. I could have the $20,000. I could have the $30,000. I'm not going to get the loan because I'm nobody tells the young people that. And we get credit cards after credit cards after credit cards and flow show and say, oh, it's not going to hurt me. I don't have to pay it back. Yeah, you don't have to pay it back, but that's on your credit, and that's almost forever. You know, they say, well, it falls off after a certain,
that's
but if somebody picks it back up, you have to go through lengths and researching, and like I said, you have to go pay way more money out for them to research this to get it knocked off than to pay it or just not have it open in the first place.
Exactly. Now, thank you, Mr. Motivator made it in. Stop by. Thank you for stopping by our studio. Louise, thank you for coming by. So y'all can just jump right in since you loved us so much. You stopped by our studio and just, we're talking about commemorating Black History Week. And we have decided that we have gone and we know where the peanut came from and we know about all the inventions. And we know about the I Have a Dream speech, which brings us to the point where doors are open. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from there? And what Mr. Courtney was saying a minute ago about the credit and not knowing and not no one telling, and that's part of us being miseducated. See, education, Mr. Motivator, is more than going to first grade through junior high, through high school, and through college. We need to be educated in life. How do I take that and apply that in my life and make it the best life I can make it? So out of all the doors that's open, we pointed out education has fallen very short. And we talk about needing credit and not having this and not having that. If we were taught how to open our own businesses, you know, things would kind of be a little bit differently if we were educated in doing that, educating how to do that. So we know that we're not going the right places in education. We know that. And this has to do with our leaders. I look at our leaders, Mr. Motivator. I saw about 6 men who are prominent leaders in the United States, prominent African-American leaders. And just to that good old boy syndrome, you know, man, I couldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Man, your vocabulary is awesome. Your this and that. But out of all of that meeting, show me who reaches down in the gutter and pull out a little black boy who has nothing to look forward to and show him there is a light up there on that hill and you can get up there where it is. Oh, we'll help them. We'll help all the kids we can help once they get to college. But what about the ones that don't get to college? See, those are the ones. I believe we don't have to lose anybody. I don't believe we have to lose anybody. And just because I'm poor, no, just because I don't have money doesn't mean I'm poor. Mm-hmm. And just because I have money doesn't mean I have wisdom. So there's the education part. There are other areas, other doors that were open, have been open for the African-Americans or the blacks or the Negro or the colors, whichever name you want to use, because we have them all. There are other doors that have been opened. Our right to live where we want to live. Mm-hmm. We will abandon one area just to move to another area. And then we live there for a little while and we abandon that area and we move to another area. So what is this? Those doors have been open. Dr. Martin Luther King walked and died for those sort of things, but these are the things that we're not being educated on. Why do I have to? I don't want to live in a certain place. I want to live wherever I have my house. That's where I want it to be my home. I want to make my street a clean street to live on. I don't want drug addicts walking. So therefore, I've got to educate myself and my community to get out there, not throwing the drug addicts away, but finding a place where they can go, where they can be helped. But we're not doing that as blacks.
Mm-mm.
We're not doing it.
No, you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a comment. I am listening to the gentleman that was speaking earlier, Mr. Courtney. I like what he was saying because he was talking about issues with credit. And that too many young people are abusing their credit. They're using these credit cards. They're allowing their school loans and everything to accelerate because they don't realize the cost that will affect them from being in debt. And even though they hear the word, what's that word that they use with the loans of that word deferred, your payments will be deferred. Okay, deferred just means they're not going to be deleted or erased. It means that you will, they'll put it off for a little while and you have to pay them. But I thought about a friend of mine. He always uses this statement when he's doing his presentation. His name is Curtis Batts. And he always says, what you don't know will keep you poor.
Exactly.
And I contribute that to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And in the Bible, it tells us that my people are destroyed
from
for the lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
And what you're telling us is that we have to get some knowledge if we want to get our communities on par.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to stay where, if we want to live where we want to live,
mm-hmm.
instead of doing the way a lot of people are doing, they'll stay here for a while, and then they'll move to another environment,
exactly.
and they'll move someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
They'll move, and they'll just keep moving all around because they don't want to be reminded that, hey, this environment looks bad. It's reminding me of poverty instead of fighting and doing something about it, making the community leaders accountable. Let's get together.
Exactly.
Let's talk about what we can do about it. You guys have me really, you guys have me stirred up about this show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the suggestions and ideas that you all are bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You know, you're talking about the blacks moving from one area to another. It's like we tear, and I'm black, so I can say this, we tear down an area. Then when it gets inhabitable,
we move on. Listen.
And that's,
wow.
That's a sickness that we have because we're not satisfied with what we have.
Exactly.
We're trying to get more, but we are not knowing that the land that we're moving from was just as valuable as the land that we're moving to.
Listen.
But you see why Oak Cliff, and I'm going to use Oak Cliff, in South Dallas and West Dallas and Pleasant Grove. That area is rich in development. You can develop it real good, but they don't want to develop it. They want to move to DeSoto, Midlothian, Red Oak. See, they already tore it down. It already has its drug dealers in there. The stores even look different from the stores somewhere else. Once they get it like that, then they go out. But then they're thinking that, oh, I'm going to leave that behind, but it's in them.
Mm-hmm.
So they drag it with them. So you put them in a house that's four-bedroom, 2,500 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have chicken bones outside, malt liquor cans outside, and that's not a stereotype. That is the truth.
Yes.
You're going to have beer bottles everywhere. You're going to have all kinds of stuff in the front yards, in the backyards, and you're going to be like, well, I thought I just left that. And they're like, man, this area sure is going to the dogs. You brought that here. That's what makes other races move out.
Yeah.
They don't want that around them. They don't want fighting every day around them. They don't want that. But we have to fight wherever we go. It's going to be a big fight in the street. It's got to be one. We are just barbarians. We just eat and throw it out, say whatever we want to do.
Okay.
Urinate in outside just in willy-nilly, and somebody say, hey, man, you doing that? Oh, hush, man, before I beat you up. You know, all this kind of stuff. All you're taking that ghetto-ness with you wherever you go.
Exactly.
You can go to the White House. You will have Secret Service picking up chicken bones. It's until you get it out of you, you're going to keep on moving. That's like I was watching this show where this man was moving because it was a spirit with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, the spirit's in his house. He moved to four houses, and the spirit kept on. They was like, no, the spirit was within y'all. One of y'all is carrying the spirit around.
That's
the same thing. I see this time and time again. And you know what happens? When we move out of an area, they wait 5 to 10 years. Then they move in.
Mm-hmm.
And clean it up or take over. And then now we're stuck and we can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
They're pushing us farther and farther out and we're helping them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's nothing, like I said, I'm not nowhere knocking no other race or whatever because y'all are doing what y'all only know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to understand is it's not nobody's fault but ours.
Exactly. So we talk about this. Listen, part of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. This is what I want to say. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Now, that is a mouthful because men were created equal in the beginning. It's what you have working on the inside of you that stops you from, who can make you not be equal? Who do you, you know, how can you not be equal and you're given the, all these doors are open to you now. But you're still not feeling equal. You still want to blame the man. The man got his foot on your head. That's why I'm skipping school. I wish some of us would just go visit these truancy courts and see how many of our African-American boys and girls paying the city. No. They're paying somebody because the school don't get it.
Right.
If it's restitution, it goes to an entity.
The one over here, because I went over there with two kids. Thank God they weren't my biological. I didn't give birth to them, but they were my kids. But I went to truancy court. They had to pay $200 each time. $100 they gave to a lady to talk to you after you got to waste your gas to go to her place and talk to you.
Right.
Gave her that $100, which is a made-up organization. And then the other goes to the county. So why are we don't know, why aren't we in these truancy courts? Why don't we have some of these civic leaders down here in these truancy courts stopping these kids and say, come here, buddy. Mother, come here with us. Now tell me why your child is down here. Because there is a resolution for every problem.
But
we have to, we still don't know how equal we are yet.
Before you say, our leaders are not going to do that unless it's cameras there.
Exactly. Which
they're not going to do it. And I don't care what anybody says and put up, and anybody, I can put it to a test. You're not going to get none of these church leaders, politicians, they're not going to do nothing in secret and get blessed openly. They're gonna. It's gonna be leaked out or something somewhere that they've done it. You know, it's got to be something on a grand scale where you have Fox 4 News there, and then they're gonna say, well, this is just that. You know what? It's not for me. I'm just doing it for the kids. If you were doing it for the kids, you wouldn't be on. You would decline to be on TV.
On camera. Exactly.
So unless we get cameras in their faces, they're not gonna do anything. And we sit up here and like you're talking about leaders. We have a million churches in the black neighborhood. And we have all the crime in the black neighborhood.
That's right, because...
And the most people in the jail. Now, if it was just the man's fault, everybody in the jail would be innocent. But those jails, yes, some of them are innocent, and they're proving it. But the majority of them... Free little Mike Nip. No, Mike did that. That's why he's down there.
Listen, he's telling the truth.
And we have shirts going around. Free. That's a sickness. We're saying that we know he did this, but he don't deserve the crime, the punishment for the crime. Huh? Where do they do that at? Where do you do evil and get away with it? That's idiotic.
Okay, Mr. Mulvey.
I think the word I see here is backbone. It takes backbone. It takes someone with principles and morals to stand up for things that they don't believe in. And a lot of times you see there are people that love to get in front of the cameras, but as Mr. Courtney says, they're doing it for them to get exposure, not because they really have a strong feeling towards
it. They're in it for what they can get out of it.
They're in it for what they can get out of it. And my grandfather had a pig one time, and he took the pig out from the farm and bought it in and cleaned it up and tried to make a pet out of it. And Granddaddy said, He fixed the pig up and had him looking real nice and clean, gave him a bath and brushed it. And then it rained, and it was, and also there was a big a hole with mud in it. The pig ran right out and jumped in the mud.
Uh-huh.
And then Granddad looked at us and he said, "You can take a pig out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the pig.
Exactly.
And so guess what? When you move out of your neighborhood, guess what? Those drug dealers are moving out too.
Yeah.
They move to a better neighborhood.
Exactly.
They upgrade your car. And we don't realize until you stand and fight. As my grandmother said, stand for something, you're gonna keep running into the same thing.
Laying down for anything.
That's right.
So it's just we gotta listen. You've gotta remember what happened in the past. What happened? What brought us to this point? Look at the doors that was just punched open. You know, we don't have to get beat anymore to learn how to read. We don't have to be raped anymore to get things done. We have a freedom to go and do, and why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we doing it? Dijon, I know you have something. You haven't said anything the whole show. Say something so people will know how young people stand. Not that I'm old, mind you.
We ain't doing nothing about it because we don't care.
Mm.
We don't care at all. We're looking out for us and only us.
And if every individual, now he's absolutely right. You don't care, but don't you, when will it get to a point where you care about what you're involved in? What's tearing you down?
Yeah, it's too late.
That's horrible.
And what DeJong said is so true. I was looking at a show called First 48, and the boy got captured. It's a little black boy, little African American, and his mama was like, "Son, you know why? Why?" He was like, "I don't care what happened to me. If I die, I die. I don't care." The man was like, "You really feel that way?" Yeah, so if you see, this is the problem that you have. If you have someone who don't care about anything, that's a dangerous person because they will go to the extreme to get what they want. You know, and we see this, and I can tell you where you can really see this. You can see this in overseas, in the Middle East, and how our soldiers are fighting, those people blow up. They blow themselves up. They don't care. How do you fight someone who's not scared? How do you do something to someone who's not afraid to die, that's not afraid of anything? That's a dangerous person for you to go up against. And young folks are being made that, but when they really care, it's too late. They've been pinned or in the grave. That is the wake up call. And it's sad because it goes always back to how you were raised. And people say, "Well, I was raised not turn," but it's something that they did that made you turn
that way. Now, we're talking about in those third world countries or wherever it is, they blow themselves up. It's not that they don't care. See, they've been brainwashed to care about a certain.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, they don't care about their lives. They can just throw it, just like they look at the kids. They don't care about nothing.
Don't care because they haven't been taught to care. You understand what I'm saying?
They think jail is cool.
Yeah, they think that makes you. But and a lot of that has to do with the way kids are being raised. Some of them are having their butts beat too much and some not having their butts beat enough.
Mm-hmm. It's not effective.
So we have to think, that's what leaders need to do. Leaders need to be praying daily, coming up with effective ways to do something. This. And alternative schools ain't going to do it. I'm sick of hearing that word alternative.
I agree. You know, I think there is a lack of motivation. And some people think that fear of motivation is what's going to motivate people to do what's right. You can cut people's hands off. You can send them to prison for 40 years, 50 years. But we have to find out what we can do to motivate individuals to to want to do better, to enjoy the life.
And that's a leader, a quality leader will do that. I'm a parent, and I've disciplined my child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always I spank her and nothing like that. See, you have to find the way to discipline the most effective.
Yes.
The most effective way. You have to play like a psychological game.
Yes.
Because you have to make it feel like it'll be real or something like that for someone to change. When you're teaching, you have to fill out, how can I get this person to learn? One person might learn if I put it up on the board. Well, one person might learn if I sing it. You know, everybody has their different learning. But see, leaders in the black community,
trying to make everything uniform.
They want to make everything uniform for them because it's easy for them.
Yeah.
See, a leader is not hard. It's not easy. It's hard because I have to understand what you're going through, and I have to tailor this. I have to tailor it so that everyone that can get what I'm trying to get.
Exactly.
Even Jesus himself, everybody, white, black, Mexican, they all acknowledge Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus taught in an elementary way. He taught so that everyone can get it,
mm-hmm.
not just the higher elite or the lower. He taught to the lowest common denominator, and that's what leaders don't do. They all like control. And they control the things and don't allow our blacks to come up and do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Quick one. I like what Mr. Courtney said just then. We got to look at what are we buying into.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine was telling me this morning that his job, they cut him 21 hours on his paycheck. When he went to talk to his manager about it, he said his manager says, well, you see, that's the effect of President Obama in office. And he told him, sir, don't give me that crap. You don't lie to me. You owe me extra hours. It's got nothing to do with President Obama. And see, we gotta start as leaders stand up if we know what's right
instead of
lying somebody
mm-hmm.
to give us a bag of goods. You know somebody's giving you some lies
mm-hmm.
and you go buy into it and then you go and pass it on to everybody else. We gotta acknowledge the truth and not be afraid to say, hey, that's a lie,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to accept it.
Exactly. We have a few minutes left in this broadcast, and I want to leave with this in mind. It's a part of the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King, and this is what it says. And I want us to actually realize that we're already walking in it. And these are the things we have to teach. It says, I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. You know, the low place is going to be lifted up. And it says, every hill and mountain shall be made low. My travel is going to be easy. Everything that I'm going to do is not going to be taxing for me. It's going to be okay for me. And then the rough places shall be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is where we're missing it, with from the emancipation in 1863, to the civil rights movement in 1963, and to this day, all of this is already taking place. But we as leaders need to get in position, stand up, and be counted, and understand, listen, as long as I have freedom within me, everything, all of this is taking place right now. And if I'm in it, you're absolutely going to see it. If you're walking in it, I'm going to see it. So we have to open our eyes and start looking. Stop blaming the man, because the man right now, our man is President Barack Obama.
Yes.
And so he's doing what he knows how to do best. and it's time for us to take the doors that have been opened for us in this past.
Yes.
Take and walk with this man and help him and help our lives, and everything will be better. Because the ultimate person that makes the decision in our life is Jesus Christ, God. However you want to put a name on it, that's how we're going to get where we're going. And he is responsible for putting people in office. He is responsible for giving us whatever it is inside of us that's going to make us stand up and be whatever it is we are supposed to be. Exactly. Anybody got any last thoughts?
I got a quick comment. I believe we have to decide, are we eagles or chickens?
Mm-hmm.
I was studying about the eagle, and the eagle flies into the storm,
mm-hmm,
and goes right above it.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken goes around, and he's afraid of his own shadow.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We got to know. What are we? Are we chickens or eagles? You got to make the choice to,
mm-hmm,
decide. Are you a chicken or an eagle? Are you a leader or,
mm-hmm,
are you a follower?
And it's one thing about being a leader, and you brought something to me. We got 3 minutes left, and I'm going to tell this very quickly because I wanted to encourage you. If you are an eagle,
mm-hmm,
stop walking around with those chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the eagle, there was an eagle one day,
yeah,
who landed in the barnyard.
Uh-huh.
And he landed in there with all the chickens and the roosters.
Yeah.
And he was disoriented when he fell in there. Well, one thing about him, he realized there was something different in him than those chickens.
Yeah.
So he would walk and he would look and he would look. See, when you're in a place,
uh-huh,
where you need to rise above it, you're not going to be satisfied being on the ground.
Yes.
That eagle sat there, and one day when it hit him,
yes,
you know what he did?
Yes.
He hit that fence, and bam, he went over that fence, and he went out. No chicken can fly that high.
Yes.
So you've got to come to the realization. Stop hanging around with these buddies. They're chickens.
Yes.
Come up and lead like you're supposed to do. Fly over that fence. Be that eagle. Stop blaming everybody because you're still,
exactly,
walking around in the barnyard pecking on the corn.
Yes.
You are supposed to be up in the tree.
Yes.
And an eagle takes care of his young different than a chicken any day of the week. You can tell what's in you.
Yes.
And you know where you belong.
Yes.
And in that barnyard with the chickens, you don't belong there. So stop trying to sit up and rub feathers with the rooster. You know?
And that's your prey.
Yes. But you trying to rub shoulders with the rooster. But, you know, so this is what we got to do. We've got to realize who we are inside.
Yes.
I mean, man, God made us powerful people. We're powerful people. And all it takes is for us to stand up. And I'm going to say this, and we only have 2 minutes to go, but thank everyone for tuning in, but for being a part of this broadcast. Thank Courtney, Dijon. Thank Jasmine for being here. She didn't say anything, but she was so attentive. I appreciate that. I thank Mr. Motivator for coming in. He came in late. He had other things he had to do, but he wandered by here, you know. And I don't mean he came in late. He was just, he came in after being at another appointment. But so he stopped by. Thank him for stopping by. Thank you, Louise, for stopping by. And, you know, I just thank everybody for their input. We're going to do one last show next week on Black History to commemorate Black History Week. And don't know what it's going to be about yet, but whatever it is, we know it's going to be a good one. Believe me, you can write me at Let's Talk Truth 333. At yahoo.com, write me, say whatever it is you want to say, disagree, agree with me. I would love to have your input. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, Let's Talk Truth 333 on Twitter. And I have go to my blog page, www.loisbullock.blogspot.com, and I grant you, you're going to find some very, very informative and inspirational information. So we just thank you, and we do these shows because we love them, and we love to bring truth to the matter. We don't like to cover anything up. because we've had things covered up too long. That's why we're trying to take our blinders off right now. And so we just thank you. And again, this is Lois Bullock. This is Let's Talk Truth. And I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night.